you're in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And if you're listening to the audio feed, today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, happy Tuesday, August 31st, final day of August, and a busy day at that field. And Stefania holding it down with Daniel, about, 10 feet from us.
Good morning. 10 feet?
Is that longer?
This is way, this is a lot of 10 feet.
So if you take, so Matthew thinks things are too short. I think things are also too short.
This is like 20 feet.
Okay, 20 feet. Whatever. I'm using Matthew's scale.
Yeah, no big deal.
I can't help myself.
You know what? It happens to somebody every show. Somebody.
Yeah. When you're so tall, things just look like they're bigger than what they are. Yeah.
So anyways, today is not just a busy day in the world of fantasy football because we've got a ton of drafts that are taking place this week and next, but today is also the day in which NFL teams have to reduce their rosters to 53 players. Their initial 53-man rosters, I like to always remind people, initial, because final 53-man rosters take place next Saturday before games begin. And along those lines, Stefania, we got some news. And I was chatting with Daniel before the show and saying, like, you know, a lot of moves that we see today are sort of coined a surprise when it's like, first of all, every team's got to move on from 27 players. So there'll be a lot of moves. I'm not sure how many of them are actually surprises. This one was a surprise, as the Patriots have released quarterback Cam Newton, who we thought had a chance, maybe even was the favorite to be their starting quarterback. And what it means is that Mac Jones is now the starter for the Patriots in week one. The rookie quarterback out of Alabama, the 15th overall pick in the draft, the sharp preseason outing has led to this moment, Stefania. And most of the time, we want to make sure we're focusing in on the fantasy angle. Let's get there in a second, but just general thoughts to this move here by the Patriots moving on from Cam.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, I just found out about it when I got to work.
Yeah.
So it definitely came as a surprise to me, but I think I understand it in the sense that Mac Jones showed enough to Bill Belichick that he's prepared to move forward with him leading the offense. It gives Cam Newton potentially an opportunity somewhere else. I also think it's interesting that we've been talking about all these quarterback battles, really focusing on other ones of who's going to be the week one starter. And this one sort of snuck up on all of us, which is the most Patriots thing of all.
It really is. I mean, Bill Belichick was asked about Cam Newton a couple hours before the release and said he's heading in the right direction. So again, fantasy coming in just a second here, but and specifically on Cam, we have no idea where Cam is going to go next. He's been released for all of an hour. He's probably about to board a plane somewhere to go home. The Patriots, we all saw it. We all saw Mac Jones in the preseason. I'm not saying it was perfect. No preseason performance is perfect. And even those that are close to it are not always a guarantee of how things are going to play out. We've seen countless quarterbacks look great in the preseason, and then all of a sudden the regular season begins and the wheels fall off. That being said, for a team that has had the same offensive system for about 20 years, it's pretty obvious that Mac Jones is the more precise, talented thrower. Along those lines, Mac Jones is a better fit, you would think, for what the Patriots ideally do under center at quarterback. Mac gets the reins, and at least there's a better chance of ranking Mac Jones right now because of the fact that we know he's the starter. Part of the reason why you had a hard time ranking either one of the players that high was that who knew, right? Cam may be the starter for week one and then not the starter by week three.
I do think it makes it interesting for sort of the running back situation when you get to red zone offense.
Yeah.
You know, because we always assumed if Cam was under center, he was as much a threat to run the ball in as anyone else. And now I don't see that being a huge area of Mac Jones' strength. Who knows? He could learn to sneak, but I can see that this makes a difference for how that red zone offense.
Just going to say, so the fantasy fallout here, I think, is a couple fold. One is what you said, Stefania. Damian Harris, who we've talked about the limitations of the passing game, but one of the other concerns for Damian Harris was that Cam Newton last year was the Patriots' best goal line / finishing back. Damian Harris, now you would think, should have more goal-to-go opportunities in New England. Slight, not a game-changing bump, but I think Damian Harris, who was right around running back, I think running back 33 for me, maybe has a chance to creep just inside my top 30. So still like a low-end flex option for me, not a guy that I want to have as one of my top two running backs, especially with Ramondre Stevenson coming on this preseason. But a good day here for the Patriots running backs and their potential fantasy value.
Also, James White, I mean, for that regular, he's just not ever going to be the pass catching back, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, from that standpoint, you know that his value can only go up so much by having Cam leave.
Right, right. And I think the other big benefactor here, though, is just the wide receivers and tight ends in general. And again, today is not the rain on the Cam Newton parade day. Today is just evaluating what Max seems to do well. And as I've said countless times on this show before, the rhetoric before the draft became unfair to Mac in that people didn't believe he merited the third overall pick. Maybe based off this preseason, people saw what maybe Kyle Shanahan saw, that this guy can be a lights out thrower. And that, like, he's not like leaps and bounds inferior to the other four quarterbacks that were drafted ahead of him. He's a very, very good player.
I think that this actually ended up being the best place for him for a number of reasons. Sure. But even just from the standpoint of if he ends up in San Francisco, it was going to be a disaster from the beginning, because just the way the fan base had reacted was they were looking for it to be either Justin Fields or Trey Lance. He goes to New England. The expectations aren't really there for him, so I think the pressure was actually less, and maybe it allowed him to succeed in a way that wouldn't have happened if he'd been in San Francisco. So I think this is one of those situations where everything kind of works out for the best for each of those rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah, it seems like that. I think Mina tweeted this recently, like her cold take on the quarterbacks is they all kind of ended up in the right spot. But just to round out the fantasy thoughts here, like I think this, and when you say, like, does it bump up the value dramatically? We had this conversation briefly yesterday on the podcast that, like, I like the outlook of Jacoby Myers and Nelson Aguilar and Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry more now than I did yesterday. Kendrick Bourne as well. Not sure it's enough for me to prioritize drafting any of the wide receivers. None of them's going to crack my top 40. But I think the Patriots offense has a chance to be much more well-oiled and efficient come midseason, in that maybe within the first 6 weeks of the season, we're talking about one or two of those names as an emerging target on
waivers. Jacoby Myers, I think, because he's shown flashes before when they haven't had consistency at the quarterback position, he's the one I like the most.
Yep,
out of the receivers.
I would say he's just been the steadiest so far in training camp. We haven't seen much of Aguilar in games, so maybe he's the guy that got $11 million per year to sign, so no surprise that, or I should say, it would not be a surprise if he starts to look better once the games begin, but none of those wide receivers for now inside the top 40, with the chance, though, later to get into at least waiver wire territory.
Quick wrap of the Patriots. I also saw that right before we started the show, Schefter tweeted out that Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah, he'll stay on PUP.
Staying on PUP, so out for the first 6 weeks of the season.
Right,
just as a part of
the season, for those that are following the Patriots defense, looks like it'll be much improved up front, but some question marks at cornerback specifically. Just last thought on Cam Newton, by the way, is maybe if I'm Cam right now, the best option for him is to wait and see if something opens up. Jobs can open up quickly in the NFL with injuries during the regular season. It's almost like he's the 33rd quarterback until he decides on where he wants to go, right? If someone suffers an injury, Cam Newton, I would imagine, would be on the short list of preferred targets. All right, Stefania, it's been quite a situation this preseason for the Colts. I mean, really, all preseason, it's been just one story after the next. And it continued yesterday with more COVID news.
Right, so I had started off by saying Colts quarterback Carson Wentz was expected to return to full team drills at practice. They were going to get Quentin Nelson off the reserve COVID-19 list. Well, Nelson did get activated off the reserve COVID-19 list, but Carson Wentz went on the reserve COVID-19 list as a close contact. So Carson Wentz, center Ryan Kelly, and wide receiver Zach Pascal all placed on that list after being named a close contact with a Colts staff member who had tested positive. This means they are out for at least 5 days. If they remain symptom-free and test negative daily, they can then return. But think about this. We were excited to get Wentz back because he's coming off that foot surgery that he had. He was already on the early end of the initial timeline. The Colts had put out a timeline of 5 to 12 weeks recovery. Carson Wentz had been progressing nicely. This was going to be his first opportunity to work through full team practices. You consider that this week there are days off that are written into the agreement, the CBA, so there will be players getting days off. How much time is Carson Wentz going to get with the team, and will he be ready, not just from a physical standpoint, but really from a readiness to play standpoint, will he be ready for week one?
Yeah, that seems to be the concern, is not, you know, as we've talked about many times over, the COVID protocols are what they are. They're updating daily, as we know as well, but it seems like the primary concern right now, and following the tenor of Colts coverage, is just that a guy who had limited practices is now going to have even fewer practices. And I think maybe the sort of long-range view is that, you know, and again, this is sort of following the coverage of Colts reporters locally, is even if these guys are back in a few days, like Quentin Nelson was from his COVID close contact exposure, what happens if this takes place Friday morning of a regular season games?
I've sort of been saying this all along, right? That this is going to be a factor in the regular season. Now, we won't spend a lot of time going into the details, but the new COVID-19 protocols for clubs for the regular season have been put forward. There has been one of the things that the NFLPA wanted was more frequent testing for vaccinated players. So they will be tested every 7 days and can test more frequently if desired. But ultimately, if you have a situation where you have an unvaccinated player who is a close contact, they must be away for 5 days.
Right.
And so, to your point, if that happens during the season, you take 5 days out. Let's say it happens on Sunday or Monday. You're basically, that's your entire lead up to the preparation for the next week. So the question will become for teams in that case, if the player even becomes available, are they, depending on their position, are they ready to compete?
Yep, that is a big, big story to follow this regular season. And certainly in Indianapolis, it has been something that Colts, as an organization, have already learned quite a bit about. Last piece of news before we get into Double Trouble. And believe it or not, we have reached the final Double Trouble of the preseason. Excellent efficiency throughout the entire show this preseason.
Thanks, Field.
Great job, David.
I think that was directed towards me, right?
Yeah, and Kyle.
Yeah. Oh, mostly, yeah, Kyle. And definitely mostly Kyle. Mostly, yeah, Kyle. Yeah, Kyle deserves most of the credit. Let's be honest. Can we just take a second
How
here?
How about me?
Kyle, no, Stefania. We're just lucky that you show up.
I'm helping you be efficient.
You're right. That's
days.
True. But Kyle does so much for this show. I just want to say, Kyle, you are an unbelievable warrior,
dude.
We see
you, Kyle. Every single day.
We see you guys.
If you guys knew what Kyle did behind the scenes to make this show work, I mean, he is just one of our favorite people ever.
He is, truly.
And not only does he make this show work, when you have a flat tire, he drives you to work.
Yeah, that's exactly true.
Really?
He's a good dude.
Wait, I got stuck a couple days ago, and he was like, you got AAA? I was like, dude.
It was the same day Stefania was stuck.
Oh, it was the same day.
Oh, so clearly, I'm the favorite.
Clearly.
By the way, you know, I didn't know that you were stuck, Field, but I think it says a lot. We all know how Field, always prepared, always on time by being early. You know, Tom Coughlin's school of time. I didn't call Field for a ride. I called Kyle.
I know, that was so thoughtful. Yeah, the only problem is that, like, I get in early. Kyle, like, opens the doors up in the morning. Yes. He's here so early because he cares so much about this
show. Except
for
the day he chauffeured me. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, thank you,
Kyle,
for everything.
We love you, buddy.
So we will go ahead and finish off the news, and we'll go back to Trey Lance here for 1 second. So Trey Lance, San Francisco 49ers quarterback, and not the starter, but not clearly the backup either, Stefania.
Well,
however,
I think this kind of sealed the deal. Not that it hadn't been decided. Kyle Shanahan already said he had a good idea of who was going to be the starter. Jimmy Garoppolo smiling broadly after that. We think we understood that but they were playing a lot of rotating quarterbacks. So, you know, they plan to use Trey Lance from the get-go. They've already made that clear. He ended up with a small chip fracture in his throwing hand after last week's preseason game. Now, that's usually what you call an avulsion fracture, a little fleck of bone that gets torn away. The treatment is pretty simple. No surgery. You just got to rest and let it heal, wait for the swelling to go down. But during that time, you can't take snaps. You can't be doing things that could disrupt the healing process. So he's got to basically rest for a week. So this takes Trey Lance out for about 7 days. If you saw him during the game, he was kind of shaking his hand, looking at his index finger. So even though they didn't specify which finger, it would seem to be that's where the problem is. They hope to have him back in practice next Monday. So it's not a long-term situation, but it does take him out of the mix for this week.
Okay, so no Trey Lance for this week, not a long-term concern. So as far as fantasy impact is concerned, doesn't change anything. Again, just a reminder that it seems like Jimmy Garoppolo will be the starting quarterback in San Francisco. We'll see whether or not that holds on for very long, but Jimmy G at least has the inside track for right now. We're going to do double trouble in just a second, but I want to ask you a question first. Would you be willing to join me and my friends Mike Clay and Daniel Dopp for a virtual live mailbag podcast recording where we'll answer your questions?
Yes, I would be willing to do that.
That would be awesome, because here's the deal, Daniel. We're doing this tomorrow, September 1, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll hop on Zoom for a virtual live show presented by our friends at Geico, Body Armor, and NFL Sunday Ticket.
Registration is required, and we're just shy of our digital capacity, but the event is totally free. So head on over to, wait, that's Field's line. We're going to spend the whole time answering questions that you submit when you register. But Field, where do they go to be able to register?
Funny you should ask. Daniel, register today at bit.ly/fantasyfocus91. That's all lowercase, bit.ly/fantasyfocus, and then the number 91.
We really hope that you guys will join us tomorrow, September 1st at 6 p.m. Eastern for a virtual live mailbag show with me, Mike Clay, and Field Yates, presented by Geico, Body Armor, and NFL Sunday Ticket.
All righty, and with that, we hope to see you there, and it's time now for us to get into our final Double Trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double, double.
Trouble, trouble.
Double Trouble.
Double, double.
Double, double.
Double Trouble.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
So I thought that Kyle was literally saving the best for last, because Kyle, on top of being a wonderful human, is a huge, huge, huge Packers fan. He loves his Packers. And you know what? No surprise at all. You know why Kyle saved the Packers for last? He mapped this out again. Yeah. He mapped this out in like February. Because when the Aaron Rodgers situation was uncertain, he said we should wait as long as possible to talk about the Packers in case something changes with Aaron Rodgers. Now, it got settled right at the beginning of training camp, but I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't, which is just Kyle. He is a carpenter. He's always thinking one step ahead. Let's begin with Aaron Rodgers, who last year was quarterback 3 at 24 points per game, 4,299 passing yards, but most impressively, Stefania, 48 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Two years ago, it felt like Aaron Rodgers was a different player. He proved a lot of people wrong last year.
He did. I mean, I was a little bit skeptical about how Aaron Rodgers would produce this last year, and he showed me that he was not done yet and still pretty mobile for a guy who's 37 years old coming into this season. Here's a fun fact for you.
Okay.
Do you know he is the third quarterback to finish a season with the most touchdowns and the fewest interceptions?
Amazing.
Do you know who else did it?
I'm going to go with, I believe Brady had 1 year.
Yes, that's correct.
Where he went
2010.
Yep. He was like 40-6 or something, or 38-6.
Daniel,
and then
who's the other one?
I think
Eric Kramer.
Was it Dan Marino 1 year as well?
Johnny Unitas.
Wow. Oh, Matthew would have been
Unitas.
Here.
Yeah, that was his two quarterback
was,
league guy,
yes,
right?
It yes. Was.
A
dynasty startup league. Yeah.
I mean, just to show you how hard that is to do. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
And one other fun fact I learned, because I had to dig in the well, because I was like, Aaron Rodgers had such a surprising season to me in terms of fantasy productivity. He had only 4 more red zone attempts last year versus 2019. But he had 19 more red zone touchdowns.
Yeah. That's way more efficient operation.
Way more efficient. Yeah. I think that, to me, just point out, so why couldn't they potentially do that again? I mean, to me, that bodes well for having that prolific scoring offense once again.
Yeah, and again, as we all know, basically all the pieces are in place from last year. The offensive line will eventually get David Bakhtiari back, their star left tackle. And when he's back, they have a very, very, very formidable offensive line. Rodgers adds a bit with his legs. He had 150 rushing yards last year, 3 rushing touchdowns. Not a ton, but we're also not talking about, you know, Tom Brady, who I think had like 12 rushing yards last year. But we know Aaron would be mobile enough.
It also
right?
showed that he came back. Remember, he had that knee injury that he played through. So if you look at Aaron Rodgers' career, he's been remarkably durable. If you go through his entire career, he's played at least 15 games every season except for 2 different seasons. And each time he broke his collarbone. So he missed multiple games when he broke his collarbone 1 year, which I think was 2013. He did it in week 9. And then in 2017, he played 7 games with a broken collarbone. You remember he came back for that one playoff, that one game late in the season, and then they lost, so then he ducked out again. But after that, he had the knee injury, and his mobility was really hampered, and some of us, including me, wondered if he'd really get it back, and I think last year proved that he did.
So we've talked about how it's so essential for quarterbacks to have rushing value in fantasy, with a couple of exceptions, one of them being Tom Brady and the other being Aaron Rodgers. And the reason why Rodgers can offset some of the rushing is that he is as precise with the football as any quarterback in the NFL. You talked about how he led the NFL in touchdown passes and had the fewest interceptions with just 5. So you're not going to lose a lot of points from Aaron Rodgers. And there's so much upside here, Stefania. Last year he was dialed in 13 games with 20-plus fantasy points. That was the most amongst all quarterbacks in the NFL. He had 9 games with 25 fantasy points. Again, tied for the most amongst all quarterbacks in the NFL. Across the board, I have him at QB8, Matthew at QB7, Daniel at QB6. And I get it. People are probably saying, like, you're talking so glowingly about him. Why would you not have him higher than QB6, QB7, or QB8? Probably just harkens back to Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, definitely Kyler Murray, definitely Lamar Jackson.
What do they all have in common? What do they all have in common? They run. Yeah,
they can run, more than Aaron Rodgers. So if you walk away though with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback, again, based off of ADP, he's one of my favorite targets based off where he is going right now.
It's when you look back at that year in review, a league high 48 touchdown passes last year. It's almost double the number that he threw the year before. And the year before, again, he was hindered because of his mobility. So while he doesn't get a lot of yards on the ground for you, I think part of the reason that he is so prolific is because he can move well enough to get himself into position to throw the ball exactly where he needs to get it. And I think that's why you saw such a difference between last year and the year before.
By the way, Kyle adds that when I was asked about how many rushing yards Brady has, Tom Brady had more interceptions than rushing yards last year.
Wow.
So for the first time in his career, actually. So, yes.
That's incredible.
149 yards from Rodgers may not sound like much, but when you're comparing him to Tom Brady, it is quite a bit. Love Aaron Rodgers.
So beautiful.
No issue with him. Let's get to Aaron Jones, the other Aaron in this offense. He was retained on a 4-year deal this offseason. Last year, he was RB4, 18.5 points per game. He scored 9 touchdowns on the ground, added 2 more as a receiver, and had 47 catches. You love the volume. I've got him at RB9, Matthew at RB7, Daniel at RB8. Love the player. Let's just start here. Like, love him. Love Aaron Jones. Like, the value's fine by me. I totally get why he's going at the beginning portion of the second round. Great player. Let's start with the good. He's a great player. You go ahead and fill out any of the details, and I'll come in with the, not a concern, but just something that I have my eyes on this year.
Well, to me, the thing that stands out about him is in each of his 4 seasons in the league, he's averaged more than 5 yards per carry.
Right.
Like, he is productive every time he touches the ball. And I know, you know, there's no Jamal Williams now. So it makes me wonder, sort of, does that bump up his opportunity to catch passes even more? I know A.J. Dillon is there.
Yep.
And I think he does get a bump up as well. But I got to believe that, you know, Aaron Jones was finally starting to be freed. Does this free him further?
There's a chance. And the only thing, I'm pulling this up right now from 2020, the only thing that I have my eyes on in Green Bay with Aaron Jones is the possibility that A.J. Dillon earns more work this year. And maybe that's offset. So A.J. Dillon, just a freight train runner. Remember A.J. Dillon, we'll talk about in just a second, who's into fantasy this year, by the way. We love to hear A.J. Dillon doing this. 22 carries, 129 yards, and 2 touchdowns in a game last season in Week 16 that Aaron Jones also played in. This was not a game where Aaron Jones was out and he got an opportunity. I'm just hedging the tiniest of bits, which is why Aaron Jones isn't like RB5 or 6 for me as opposed to RB8. That's the reason why, is the chance that A.J. Dillon has a bigger role this year. We've all talked about him as a potential sleeper. So, love Aaron Jones. We talked about all the good factors. 8 games with 16-plus fantasy points. That was tied for 4th most amongst running backs. He's been a touchdown machine over these past couple of years. Just slightly lower in the event that A.J. Dillon gets more work, which brings us to sort of the standalone value of A.J. Dillon, who only played 11 games last year and only got 46 carries, 242 yards, 2 touchdowns, only added 2 catches last year. But when he did run the ball, Stefania, he ran not like the wind, because he ran like a freight train, is what he is. He ran like a bulldozer.
He is leg day.
He calls himself the quad father, appropriately named the quad father. He and Saquon and Mike Davis are just like, if you took those 3 sets of quads and put them together, they would be the size of like a redwood tree. They are gigantic. But he had, he only had 46 carries last year. But 46% of those gained at least 5 yards. Really, really talented runner. So, there may not be standalone value, because I don't know that he's as gifted of a pass catcher as Jamal Williams was. And Williams was a pretty useful guy for the Packers last year. But what I do think, and this is why I keep mentioning him as like a sleeper, not in the sense you haven't heard the name, but in terms of the value, is that A, he could get enough rushing volume to be a deeper league stash. If something happened to Aaron Jones, though, if A.J. Dillon would be a top 10 consideration for me.
So it's interesting. ADP is running back 37 in the 13th round, just after James Conner, but ahead of Ronald Jones. I think I'd rather have A.J. Dillon than either of those players.
Yeah, it's a tough one, right? I know what you're saying. Trust me.
I just don't know how James Conner is going to be utilized in that offense. You know, I don't know how much they're really going to lean on him. Whereas A.J. Dillon, you have the upside, and I agree, the insurance factor in the event that Aaron Jones misses a game.
Yeah,
he, by the way, has missed games every season.
It feels like if you were, like, you're getting, it's tough because, like, you know, Ronald Jones, if Leonard Fournette was out, how would I value him compared to A.J. Dillon if Aaron Jones was out?
Top 15 to top 10.
Right. I think I'd probably lean towards A.J. Dillon only because even when Ronald Jones has had the opportunity to be the man, mm-hmm. like they still have, like, it's Bruce Arians. They're always going to have a couple extra backs in there, right? Whether it's Gio Bernard or other players earning some carries in a given game. But I just think A.J. Dillon's just such a talented player that it wouldn't surprise me if a couple of years from now he is the starting running back in Green Bay and a player that we're talking about. Maybe not Jonathan Taylor type, but sort of comparable skill set with some of his ability to just break tackles and make defenders miss.
Break tackles, make defenders miss
consistently. That sounded weird for me for some reason. So I like A.J. Dillon a lot. We're going to talk about probably the easiest player to discuss in fantasy football, this side of Travis Kelce, in just a minute. But first, do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Fantasy football season is right around the corner, and that means more of what you love. The teams, the rivalries, the stats and trash-talking friends, and your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, CMC, CeeDee Lamb, and Baker Mayfield, they all rely on Body Armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash-talking points you need. And hey, this fall is a great time to up your game too, and Body Armor has got you covered. Everybody's focus on staying active and healthy, and hydration is a huge, important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink. It's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now, through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt at www.bafootballtailgate.com, and you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of the U.S. 18 and older. That's www.bafootballtailgate.com. For a chance to be entered to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate.
Let's talk Devontae Adams. And I just love doing it. You know why, Stefania? Because in a game where it's hard to predict things week over week, Devontae Adams makes our job easy for us. Let's just fawn over him for a second, shall we?
Look, we have to?
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to. Look, Aaron Rodgers does. Yeah. And we kind of knew how that situation was going to play out based on their little code, Instagram and Twitter. I mean, but it tells you how in sync they are. Devontae Adams, you talk about being money in the bank. More than 50% of the wide receiver targets on the team go to him.
Yep.
And more than 30% of all the team targets. So, you know, it, as much as anyone you put in your lineup on Sunday for your fantasy roster, mm-hmm. that Devontae Adams is going to be productive. I mean, he is about as sure a thing in fantasy football as there is.
So one of my things that I like to track each preseason, or have Kyle look up, which is a much more accurate, yeah. me tracking it. No, I just hit up Kyle and I say, hey, can you figure out?
Because you're asking tracking.
Hey, Kyle, can you track this on my behalf?
That's fun.
Is how many times a player scored a certain number of points in a game, right? 15 is one of them, but 25 is like if you're chasing upside for a quarterback, you'd like to know the elite upside is how many games of 25 or more fantasy points. That's in a quarterback spot, which we all know is the easiest spot in fantasy to score a ton of points because of the way the default settings are on ESPN. So Devontae Adams averaged 25.6 fantasy points per game last year. Averaged it. And you know how we're always talking about how all these wide receivers, there's so many great wide receivers, so many great ones. He scored 3.7 points per game more than the next closest wide receiver last year. Stephon Diggs, miraculous season last year. Tyreek Hill had like 95 touchdowns. Still could not keep up on a points per game basis with Devontae Adams, who on in 11 of the 14 games he played last year, had at least 16 fantasy points, and frequently many more than that. You also recall that in the highest of stakes, he was a baller in the playoffs. This guy was money in the bank when you needed him most. He had 18 receiving touchdowns, 1.29 receiving touchdowns per game. There are going to be Pro Bowl wide receivers that will be lucky to have eight receiving touchdowns this year. We talked about this a couple days ago, and I'm giving it for perspective, not because I don't love the player. Keenan Allen has never had 10 receiving touchdowns in a single season in his career. If I'm not mistaken, and Kyle, this is another one of those things where you can track it on my behalf, Devontae Adams has like five straight seasons of at least 10 receiving touchdowns. He's the best touchdown-making wide receiver in the NFL, and for fantasy purposes, that's why he's the wide receiver one king.
Four of his last five,
yeah, but that fifth one doesn't count.
So let me ask this question. Obviously, we know cream rises, and Devontae Adams is the cream,
right?
Yeah. What's the stuff below the cream, and is there any value there in that Green Bay Packers wide receiving class? The foam?
You're saying basically
like the curdled milk? Like, is there, because we've consistently, right, we've been saying this for years with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. Somebody here could bust out and be a great number two option. Yeah. But it's been a while since we've seen someone have fantasy value in that role. Randall Cobb or any of the other guys that we've seen recently, do you have any faith in them being fantasy usable or even draftable?
I think the fact that Randall Cobb made a return to Green Bay is interesting, especially the timing of it.
80 years old, though.
But here's the thing. Aaron Rodgers has always been about who he trusts, right? Yeah. And that's clear. I mean, what we saw from Robert Tonyan, that was because of trust. Devontae Adams is clearly somebody he has a special trust with, and those are going to be the ones who shine, and he'll give some of the other receivers an opportunity, but if they're not consistent for him, he tends to go back to the folks that he trusts. So to me, like the second on the list there, really, I mean, if you look at Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he had 76 targets last year. He had the most targets outside of Devontae Adams, even though he didn't have the most receptions outside of Devontae Adams. So there's opportunity there.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to have to see it right out of the gate in order for that to stick. There's a reason that Randall Cobb is back.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think so. The first thing is like it's got to be one, right? I don't think it can be more than one if you're going to choose any. I think I've done this dance too many times, right?
Hard.
Like Alan Lazard looks good for a minute,
and we're usually wrong.
It sounds like and again, what I said earlier, preseason, like you know how it looks in the preseason versus how it looks in the regular season does not always translate. But Rob Domofsky, who we've had on the show frequently, he's a great friend, good golfer. I'm not going to give him great golfer until he plays with me. But great guy, an amazing reporter, has noted several times that Marquez Valdez-Scantling has had a great training camp for the Packers. So maybe Stefania was on
right?
it again, right?
Was I right?
You are right. Well, if you're always right, Stefania.
No, I'm not always right.
But you're okay, frequently right. So if you're giving us one, I think you have to pick one. I'll go with MVS, and I'll say this. I have no idea whether I should have any confidence in that pick whatsoever, other than what Rob has reported.
No, but
so I'll go
those
with
are, those are... Those are the things we look for, right? You look at how frequently he was targeted last year.
Yep.
And, you know, it's not like those were all drop situations for him. There were different reasons why those weren't all completions. But he was targeted, like I said, far more. If you look at like Alan Lazard, 54 targets last year. And even Tonyan, who he really likes, 64 targets last year, more than Lazard. But Valdez-Scantling, still the most targeted guy. So I would put him right up there behind Devontae Adams. And that also means, you know, Devontae Adams misses a game every year, a game or a couple of games.
Yep.
It happens when you're the frequent target. You're going to be more vulnerable to injury. Marquez Valdez-Scantling often saw the bump when Devontae Adams was out.
So Robert Tonyan's the last player you want to bring up amongst his pass catchers. And maybe the idea is that you can only pick one, including Tonyan. But if you think you can pick a wide receiver and you have some belief in Tonyan, it would be because he was a breakout star last year. However, he was awesome. 52 catches, 586 yards, and 11 touchdowns. Anytime I start talking about Robert Tonyan, all I can do is just imagining like little Tonyans? Mike Clay in his computer sitting there just being like, dude, do you hear this thing? Because Mike Clay's computer makes more noise than my car engine.
It sounds like an airplane engine when it starts up.
I start talking about about Robert Tonyan, and Mike Clay is sitting. It's just like the engines are being revved because he's like, field, regression candidate, right? I've told you this 6,000 times. Mike is the best. I should always trust Mike Clay. So I'm going to trust Mike Clay right now, right? Because 52 catches and 11 of them were for a touchdown. That means that nearly 22% of his catches last year went to the end zone. That's absurd. That's really hard to do. So likely he will regress. This reminds me of Eric Ebron from a few years ago. Along those lines, Stefania, when I was talking about all those tight ends yesterday, where it was like, might have been 2 days ago, where Matthew was sort of like, I got seven that I like, and the rest, I'm like, not quite sure. Yeah, that's what Robert Tonyan is for me.
Yeah. Good player. And also, we just talked about it. Aaron Rodgers, if he trusts you, and he trusts you in the end zone, which clearly he does with him, I think the opportunity is still going to be there. I know the projections for this year, Clay has him projected with 6 touchdowns, which is basically a 50% drop-off. I mean, I'm no Mike Clay computer, but I don't think it's dropping that much.
Yep, I agree with you. Well, I don't know. I think it's going to drop.
I didn't say drop. Do you think it's going to drop by 50%?
I think so, yeah. I got to trust Mike. I'm trusting Mike here.
Should we make a board bet?
Sure, yeah, 6 or fewer. This is great. All right.
Okay.
I say Robert Tonyan will score 6 or fewer touchdowns this season.
I say Robert Tonyan will score 7 or more touchdowns this season.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board. That was good right there. We had that's right there.
Nice job, Randy.
We are cooking with grease right now. All right. With that, we turn to the Chicago Bears. And Stefania, we found out earlier today as we led the show with that Mac Jones would be their starting quarterback in New England. However, even with Mac Jones as starting quarterback, I think I'll probably bump him up to like maybe I could see him like right on the border of QB 20 for me. Maybe a little bit lower, but definitely not inside my top 15 going into the preseason. If you told me, though, that Justin Fields is going to be a starting quarterback, he would be even higher than where I have him right now, which is quarterback 15. So let me just state the August 31st case, which is that the Bears remain insistent that Andy Dalton will be their starter. And while Bill Belichick, throughout the offseason, said Cam Newton is our starter, when week one came up, Bill Belichick noted, like, everybody is competing for a starting job. And I'm not saying one way is right or wrong, but the Bears, when talking about week one, have consistently said Andy is our guy for week one, right? Matt Nagy said to Chris Collinsworth on a podcast this offseason that I don't see a scenario in which Andy's not our week one starter. So it's Andy Dalton's job for now. And part of that calculus may be that you're playing against the Aaron Donald-led Rams in week one, and then you play the Bengals in week two, I believe. A little bit different defense. I think it's just a matter of time until Justin Fields becomes a starter in Chicago. And because of that, Stefania, my strategy here with him, and we know, I don't think I need to describe to people why Justin Fields has the chance to be sensational as a fantasy quarterback. During his first season at Ohio State, 40 touchdowns, 1 pick. He could rush for 650, 800 yards in a season. He's that athletic. We saw it a couple different times in the preseason. He's a great thrower. You don't stumble into 40 touchdowns without being pretty darn gifted. I love the player. I really do. It's just a matter of when he takes over the starting job and how do you approach your draft as a result of that. So I think, and we've discussed this previously on the podcast, the strategy that I would have with Justin Fields is I'm okay taking him. And a matter of fact, I'm okay getting a little bit ahead of where his ADP is undrafted over 50% of leagues. Like, I'm okay with paying a slight premium on Justin Fields. And I get, like, what is a slight premium when the guy is undrafted? Meaning, like, if he's the 10th quarterback off the board, I don't care. I'm okay with that.
I was going to say, and the mock drafts that I've done, you're getting him for... Actually, I did a real draft the other night, and he went late, like double-digit rounds. So
because he's such a tantalizing player when he gets a starting job, that's why I'm willing to pay up a little bit for him, because what you're going to be able to do is grab somebody maybe literally after your draft or at the end of your draft that you can hold the fort down with until Justin Fields is the starter. We've talked about Kirk Cousins. We've talked about Matt Ryan. We've talked about Baker Mayfield. We've talked about Ben Roethlisberger. Right. We've talked about all these quarterbacks that I would rather not have them as my guy all year, Derek Carr. But if you like the matchups at the beginning of the season, I'm totally fine with that. So the strategy there is, to me, if you're taking Justin Fields, have a second quarterback to ride the wave until Fields is the guy, and then feel really good about it, because I'm not saying it's a guarantee that he's going to be awesome. But I think his skill set is superior to both as a thrower and a runner, somebody like Jalen Hurts, certainly Taysom Hill, two guys who last year in their stints as starters, which were both four games, were top 10 players at the position. So if those guys, Justin maybe a little bit less than that over the course of this season, but he has a chance to be, I mean, what was the old Michael Jordan's line? The ceiling is the roof?
Yes.
The ceiling is the roof for Justin Fields.
But here's the thing. I feel, my sense is, Matt Nagy obviously desperately wants to get this right, but not just for himself and where he stands with the organization, but really for this young quarterback to make it so that he is successful. And there's something about that week one labeling that I think he wants to stay away from that. Matt Nagy obviously understands how it worked in Kansas City with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. Not saying that he's going to do that for the year. I actually think Justin Fields comes in sooner rather than later, Field, to your point. I think he's going to prove to them. But even if you look at the sound from just yesterday, Matt Nagy talking to reporters, there are little things that he's looking for that are things that we don't see just because we see them in pregame action, that he just wants to get a little bit better and have Justin Fields get a little bit more confident in before he puts him out there. And that could end up happening within a couple of weeks. I mean, I don't think this is a long wait. I just think he really wants to put him in the best position to succeed, take that pressure off of not automatically putting him week one. But I don't know. Look who they play in week four.
I'm just telling you that. I know, but just telling you right here, that really quickly, I don't like to do this. I don't like to play out schedules during the preseason for fantasy. But let's say week one, they go to Los Angeles, Andy Dalton is the starter, and they just get smacked, which would not surprise me.
At the Rams.
The Rams. On Sunday Night Football, no less. Okay?
Hi, Aaron Donald.
Wednesday, week two, 9:46 a.m., Adam Schefter tweets, the Bears have named Justin Fields their starter. Sources tell ESPN, Fields takes over for Andy Dalton
against
the Bengals.
Yeah.
Here's the schedule coming up after that. Bengals, doesn't scare you at all. At the Browns, a little bit, but we'll see. That Browns defense has a lot of new pieces. They got to put it all together.
At home.
Lions at home.
Lions.
Raiders on the road. No, doesn't scare you too much. Those next 3 weeks, now it gets a little bit more daunting. Going to Tampa Bay, playing the 49ers, going to Pittsburgh,
but you
home
have those,
to the Ravens.
Those 3 weeks are weeks to be able to build confidence. I mean,
exactly.
that early thing is
exactly.
what it's all about.
And you'll learn quickly, right? Like, if he's not fit for it, then you'll have other options.
Exactly.
So, I don't know. I'm just excited about Justin Fields.
I agree.
Let's talk about David Montgomery. Because I'm convinced, Stefania, and maybe, you know what? Every year in the preseason, you have players that you hit on and you whiff on. And I know that people think that there's a chance this could be a whiff. But I think David Montgomery's become one of the underappreciated players in fantasy football this year. And I've talked about this many times. The thing that people continue to hold against David Montgomery is a soft schedule at the end of last season. I'll also argue that I don't care how soft your schedule is, you still got to produce. And David Montgomery had 8 games with 100 scrimmage yards last year. Half the games he played in, he had over 100 scrimmage yards. That's 10 fantasy points already. The only two players or more were Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. Seems like good company to keep, in my opinion, right? He finished in style, as Kyle notes, in his final 6 games. I talked about that soft schedule. He was a top 8 running back in each of those 6 games. So I get it. The schedule is soft. We've also seen guys in soft matchups not deliver top 8 performances every single week. And Matt Nagy is truly intent, at least according to himself, that this will be David Montgomery's job. He is the man in this Chicago backfield. I think he's a talented player. Things got too far in one direction his rookie season when we overdrafted him. Then they got too far last season behind where he deserved to be drafted. I think David Montgomery is of value this year.
Look, it's hard to argue with that. I remember last year we were a little nervous about him. He had a groin injury during camp, and there was a question. I was concerned. You don't like to see that in a running back. It can be a real problem for them. And they just sort of quietly had confidence in him that he'd be ready to start the season and be fine, and he was. And it really never became an issue for him. I think he got stronger as the season went on. So maybe he got stronger as the as the schedule got a little bit easier, but that's not his fault. I think that – and also his pass catching went up.
Really good pass catcher.
So he really, I am one of those people who I think underappreciates him on the regular, and I can't really identify why it is. And maybe it's just because of the way we look at the Bears offense, and there hasn't been a really standout solo running back there.
Sure.
And I think that's part of it.
Part of this also is that Tariq Cohen, as of right now, remains on PUP. If Tariq Cohen's not activated from PUP by 4 p.m. today's filing, he's automatically out for at least 6 weeks. Have you heard anything about Tariq Cohen's recovery?
No, I mean, other, you know, that reportedly he's been doing well, but he's coming off a torn ACL. And we've talked about this, and there's a much higher profile running back coming off torn ACL. And you know, the it is integration to get back into playing football, taking hits, taking contact, and being able to make quick cuts and quick adjustments off that leg. And when we haven't seen it, we don't really know how to project it going forward.
Yeah. And again, if there's been basically no reporting on it, you tend to think that while he may be making some progress, he doesn't sound close to me. So when I say if he's on PUP, he misses 6 weeks, it's at least 6 weeks.
Right.
We could be talking about at least half the season for Tariq Cohen before he returns. And the Bears seem, I think, compelled with good reason to take the long view here, right? He's a player they extended last year for, I think it was 3 years. Like, no need to rush Tariq Cohen back. And Damian Williams seems to be a player that some people in the fantasy community think will have a bigger role in the Chicago backfield. I'm not scared by him is what I should say, right? I think he's going to have a role, no doubt. We saw it during the preseason. He's a good player, Super Bowl, near MVP a couple seasons ago, opted out last year. But I'm not convinced that he's going to have enough of a role to dampen my expectations on David Montgomery.
Yeah, it's hard to really know because you almost wonder if he was brought in as an insurance factor into the backfield as a whole.
Sure. So let's get to the pass catchers in just a minute. Before we do, did you know that Tony Romo, who's from Chicago or close to it, is a motivational speaker now? All this football season, Tony and Corona are motivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at romotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit romotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, again, Chicago, Illinois.
Do you want to get in shape but you're having trouble staying motivated? Why not make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get that energy boost that you need to get fit? We all know you sometimes do not want to go to the gym, so why don't you take a 5-hour energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness that you need so you can get there? With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, peach mango, and more. There's literally a flavor for everyone. You can try them all, and on the site, they even have this cool option to build your own 12 or 24 pack. You choose the flavors, and it's delivered right to your door. If you go to 5hourenergy.com, that's the number 5hourenergy.com, and get some 5-Hour Energy product today, you can use the promo code FFF to receive 10% off your order. The offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. Phil, we're going to come out of that into a blind resume, which is brought to you by our friends over at Hotwire.
That's right, Daniel. Player A on 337 routes, had 59 targets and 11 touchdowns last season. Player B on 704 routes and 135 targets, had 10 touchdowns. These are both tight ends. You care to guess which of these players is which? Or just guess who these players are in general. I think I know tight end A. What do you think, Dan? You think you know him?
They're tight ends?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they would have said Robert Tonyan.
Tight end A is
A, but I think he had more targets than that.
I'm going to go with tight end A being Robert Tonyan.
Yep.
Tight end B, you ready for this?
Yes.
You ready for this? Evan Ingram.
Ooh.
Tight end A is Robert Tonyan.
Confirmed. Tight end B is?
Stand by.
Suspense is killing me. The Bears tight ends. That's a trick question.
That is a trick
question. That's messed up.
Kyle, you are.
Fair.
The fact is a blind resume, not a blind question.
Wow. No. Kyle, just off the top.
Kyle. Getting sassy. Kyle getting a little sassy after all those compliments we threw your way.
Seriously.
I think there's regression coming. I think Fields got the right idea with Tonyan, but I hope Stefania is right.
That's a big deal.
As a Packers fan, you hope Stefania is wrong because it's actually 20 touchdowns and not
20. Well,
I guess
she
would still
seven.
Be right. Yeah, that's a good point. So.
Yeah.
Right. I'd still win the board bet.
That's right. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Thank you very much to our friends over at Hotwire for being able to sponsor that blind resume.
making everything possible for us on today's show.
Absolutely.
All right, let's keep it rolling with the Bears pass catchers. And I guess we don't have much to talk about those tight ends, according to that blind resume. But let's do one more appreciation post, shall we, Stefania? A lot of great wide receivers in the NFL. We talked about that earlier, Devontae Adams. Here is a wide receiver that has at least 150 targets in each of the past two seasons. You ready for it? Here's the full list. Allen Robinson. That's it. Allen Robinson is it. And what has been one of the narratives surrounding Allen Robinson his whole career? If you just got him better quarterback play, the sky would be the limit.
Every year I would be like, can we please send him somewhere else?
Right.
I always wanted him to go somewhere else because I just felt like there was too much pressure on him to sort of be the savior in Chicago. And remember, coming off the ACL tear that he had a remarkable year. He was bothered to some degree by other soft tissue injuries, had a groin injury he dealt with from time to time.
Oh, my finger.
Well done. Well played. But he was still the guy that was trying to carry the team as a pass catcher.
Right, yes. He sort of has continued to carry teams as the pass catcher over his NFL career. 2020, 102 catches, 1,250 yards, and 6 touchdowns. He's been a top 10 wideout each of the past two seasons. The good news is not only does he get a ton of targets, as we illustrated with that 150-plus target stat, but he also gets a ton of useful targets. 15 end zone targets last year, tied for the third most in the NFL. If Allen Robinson had like 4 more touchdowns last year, maybe we're talking about him in a different light. I've got him at wide receiver 12, Daniel at wide receiver 11. He's wide receiver 11 in terms of ADP. This is a good reason why if you have the choice early between a really talented running back or a really talented wide receiver, oftentimes we suggest leaning towards the running back because you can get someone like Allen Robinson or Mike Evans in the fourth round.
Yeah, it's really interesting. If you look like where he's going in this same round, it's CeeDee Lamb. Yeah. Okay, we love him in the Cowboys offense this year. Mike Evans, what more can you say about the Bucs offense? And you go Allen Robinson, it just doesn't appear, you're like, but who's going to be the quarterback?
Right.
And I think that's where if you think that Justin Fields has a chance to play sooner rather than later, then you really love Allen Robinson.
So same thing with the Bears that I think applied to the Packers conversation. Is there a Bears wide receiver not named Allen Robinson that you are interested in? Yes. Darnell Mooney. Is that it?
That's it.
Good.
For me.
And
I
tell
like
me more about Darnell Mooney. Yeah.
He's fast.
Yes,
he is. He's fast, and he's one of those where the speed, you know, the speed matters because to me, he's going to be that guy who can get open down the field. And now if you've got that big arm of Justin Fields coming in, I like Darnell Mooney's chances. He's still young. He ran the 4.38 40, drafted in the fifth round last year out of Tulane. So I don't think there's been as much attention paid to him. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but he's quick, he's explosive, and I think he's got a chance to be a big playmaker.
He's been one of the more popular sleepers this preseason, as you mentioned. Not just is he very fast, but he actually got a reasonable target share last year. Had 5 or more targets in 12 of 16 games. The Bears traded away Anthony Miller this offseason. They have guys like Marquise Goodwin on the roster, and perhaps Rodney Adams secures a spot on the roster, but it's not like it's a bunch of proven veterans that are going to definitely have more targets week in and week out for Darnell Mooney. So we agree that we like him as a sleeper. Trouble is, there are so many good wide receivers and he cannot crack the top 50 in terms of ranks.
I don't care, though, because in terms of, for me, like he's a guy I can get late in my drafts that I think is going to be productive. Undrafted in 40% of leagues. Yeah. Jalen Reagor in Jacoby Myers territory. I do like Jacoby Myers.
Yep.
Jalen Reagor, I think I'm just not sure in that offense how much I trust. I like Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, so we'll keep an eye on Darnell Mooney amongst the various wide receiver sleepers. And we'll end with the tight ends. We saw just how productive they were on 135 targets.
Yeah, a quick reminder, the blind resume is brought to you by Hotwire. Book an expensive hotel for cheap on Hotwire. Download the Hotwire app to book beyond your wild. This means all bookings final, Field Yates.
I love that. We're actually taking a little trip this weekend. Hotwire was a resource we tapped into.
Hey, now.
I like this. Book beyond your wildest means. One of my favorite taglines there.
Yeah, that's a good one. Just like the cream rises.
Cream rises. If you think about like the legendary lines.
One app, one tap.
One app, one tap.
Parkin's back.
Yeah. News or noise.
What's a good Matthew line?
That was a good
Trust is a strong word.
Trust is a strong word. We've stop.
I'm out on these tight ends.
Me too.
Yeah.
There's too many bodies here. Too many cooks in the kitchen. Yep. Cole Kmet should be a improved player this year.
Matthew always likes himself some Cole Kmet.
He does, yeah. And he's a second round pick last year, yeah. But the Bears gave Jimmy Graham a 2-year, $16 million contract. And Jimmy Graham's going to have like 5 ridiculous touchdowns.
And he tends to get targeted in the red zone. Like he's just, Jimmy Graham for as mature as he is in football years is still a big physical target in the end zone.
What is he like 6'7"?
6'8". You can't teach that.
Can't teach that.
By the way, how sweet is Stefania? Like Jimmy Graham, mature. Like what a yeah. diplomatic, kind way of putting that.
It takes one to know one.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Wow. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here like, man, you know, like I don't know, Matthew. We're gonna bite my tongue before I say something we regret, right?
Yeah.
Matthew's mature. He's the most mature fantasy analyst I know. Yeah.
No.
All right, so we don't like the tight ends for real. Redraft leagues? Are you drafting either one of them?
No, I'm out.
I don't think so either.
Last Bears thought. You got any last Bears thoughts?
If you're in a fantasy league where you have a Bears fan, you're going to have to take a Bear early because you know Bears fans always reach for Bears.
Well, did you know that one of our great producers on the show, Kenny Legan, is a big-time Bears fan? So, Kenny, I hope Justin Fields becomes your starter sooner rather than later, and hope you get a jersey.
Yeah.
Because you deserve one of those sweet, vintage, I love the Bears uniforms, one of my favorite uniforms in the entire NFL. Hit the white on whites really clean. Get the number one Fields jersey. It would look good on you, Kenny Legan. All right, Daniel, let's wrap up the show with some social questions brought to you by Geico.
Yeah, let's do that. The first one we had was a poll. Gus Edwards versus Josh Jacobs. If you remember this from yesterday's show, Field, we had a conversation.
Sure,
I'm curious which side that our fan base is going to land on. It appears as though Gus Edwards...
Wow.
53% of the vote.
I'm
Good
surprised.
Gracious, these people are
Gus
just...
Edwards outscore Josh Jacobs this year.
Wow.
That's really interesting.
That's really... I'm telling you, like,
was
separate
that the position that Matthew took? He was on the Gus Edwards side, I think.
Matthew was on the Gus Edwards side.
I was on the Josh Jacobs side.
You were
side.
On the Josh Jacobs, Matthew. That's why I just surprised. Wondered.
Josh Jacobs.
I wondered how often Matthew voted in that poll.
Yeah, literally.
How many burner
accounts did
he use?
Matthew just had each
of
his kids vote 20 times, and they had 1,000 votes. Yes, like, that's unfair, right?
Yeah. All right. Next question is, why is Keenan Allen underrated?
Was or why?
No, is he? Or is he?
Not sure. I don't know.
Not sure. I don't know. Look at Jackson.
Jackson, we're a little dog.
So
here.
All right. This was an interesting comment on yesterday's episode. It came from John_O'Keefe. We're going to throw it up there. We've definitely looked at it before, so I know what it is. I'm just waiting for it to show up on the screen so that everybody else can see it, not so that I can also read it.
Okay.
He's sick. Come on, Daniel.
Accidentally press the speed button on lower left at 17:10 to half speed, and please to do it. See how hammered Matthew sounds. LOL, it's worth it. Wow, that's amazing. All right, so go ahead and slow your podcast down to half speed.
Not today's. Wait till Matthew's back.
Yes.
And then go do it.
Please don't tweet at us that you thought Matthew sounded funny drunk today, because it was actually Stefania, and that would be, I would never hear the end of it. Yeah, that would be uncomfortable.
Really, you know, like Matthew... sounding half speed, like you should see him walking around campus here at ESPN perpetually at half speed. Just like
when he says nothing comes from hustling. I mean, you talk about living
how you live your life, right?
He means it. He means it.
Living your slogans.
All right, we got one last one, and it is a salary cap draft strategy question. This one comes from those are just too many letters.
Save the serious question for the end.
Draft strategy around salary cap
he's
drafts.
He's basically saying there's not that much
coverage.
Wait, hold
on. More importantly, though, Daniel, can you read the handle this comes from?
JDASHMAC7/UFEOF/U20E3. Draft strategy around auction. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what the question is, but
we have a lot
of salary cap stuff on the website for you to be able to check out. I actually did a salary cap draft 2 nights ago here on ESPN.
And Daniel and I have one for the Gasco League tonight.
Yes, we do with our buddy Keith Lipscomb from the show.
To talk about plans when you don't include everyone.
You can take over my team. In any event, just really quickly on auction strategy, I would speak generally
salary capped
and auction draft, wasn't it?
That's the terminology.
We just call it salary cap.
Yes. Yeah. In the strategy, I would say, would be that typically, like, spend big and then find value. That's the most popular one, that find your targets early, set a number, go to that number, but spend big. Like, you're going to find that at the end of your draft, there's going to be a player, and I don't know why this is the first wide receiver that comes to mind, but I could imagine a draft where – People are spending a ton of money on wide receivers early, and then you get Marvin Jones for a dollar. But that's the reason why you can afford to spend big money on Stephon Diggs early, is that you can spend, let's say, $41 out of a $200 budget, and then at the end of the draft, end up with a $1 Jacoby Myers. So spend big, spend little. It's hard to just find great values in the middle unless you just punt on like the first
15 picks. Yeah, and know that you're going to find, especially when there's depth at position like wide receiver. That's one of the ones I probably would not spend too much wide receiver early. I'd go for somebody like Travis Kelce or a tight end where you have a position scarcity at the position, at least at that talent level. Spend my big money there. Save it for position where you have depth.
With how deep wide receiver is, I would absolutely wait, because you'll get to that point where Allen Robinson you can get for $18, or Chris Godwin you get for $20, and you know, pre-draft value is closer to $30.
If you spend more than a dollar on a kicker, you've done it wrong.
Yes.
Busy day ahead. That much is for sure. Do not spend more than a dollar on a kicker. But a busy day is ahead. All the news. Turn on your Adam Schefter notifications. Yes. That's going to do it for today. We'll be back tomorrow to take a look at, that's right, the man we just mentioned, Adam Schefter's favorite to the top of the draft board, plus the sleeper she's taking late, and recap all the news. Peace out.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skills are highly in demand. She's our Bay Area lady out there hustling for us. Advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's to find your best.